Typically, bishul is performed in water that's heated by a fire. However, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Ches Mabeis, discusses cooking in the sun with regards to blankets that are heated up in the sun. The Mishnah says, "Ein noisnim beitz b'tzad hamecham b'shvil shetisgaga." One is not allowed to place an egg next to a heat source in order so that it should roll. If, an egg, when it's raw, if you try and spin it, it won't spin because the yolk gravitates towards the end and it stops the spinning. But if it's hard-boiled, then it will spin. So that's what it means. You shouldn't cook an egg next to a heat source, shetizgaga, so that it should be able to spin. V'lo yafkiyena besudrin, and you should not put it in hot towels. Rashi explains that we're heated up by the sun. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. V'rabi yosi matir, and Rabbi Yossi allowed this. So the Gemara asks on this comment of the Chachamim that one is not allowed to heat an egg, crack an egg, and heat it in towels or heat it up by the sun. To cook it, I'm sorry, in towels or heat it up by the sun. So you see, you can put foods in the sun in order so they should become heated. Doesn't that seem to only follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that one is allowed to heat things in the sun or in things that were heated by the sun? So Amar Rav Nachman Bechama de Kuliyam lo pligi de shari. No, that Mishnah is talking about heating things in the sun itself. Cooking things in the sun itself, everyone agreed was allowed. That was never subject to the dispute between the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi. If you have an item, a pot or towels, or heated up by a fire, everyone would agree that that's aser. The machlekes is, and towels are heated up by the sun. If you cook in the sun, everyone agrees that's allowed. The machlekes is, what about cooking in towels that are heated up by the sun? One of the opinions, the chachamim hold that's aser. Why is that also? Because you might confuse the towels that are heated up in the sun with towels that are heated up by the fire. Or a pot that was heated up in the sun with a pot that was heated up in the fire. Once a pot is hot, it's hard to tell where it came from. I don't know if it was heated up by the sun or by the fire. So if I'm going to allow someone to cook in a pot that was heated in the sun, I might confuse that with a pot that was heated in the fire and you'll violate Bishol. Umar Sav Aloy Gazrinan. And the other opinion, Rabbi Yossi holds, we're not Gezer, told us Hachama, Otu told us Ha'ur. We're not afraid you're going to confuse them. So the machlekes between the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi is only about a pot or towels that were heated up in the sun. Should we prohibit cooking in them? Because you might confuse it with pots or towels that were heated up in the fire, which would presumably be a malacha bishol deraisa. But everyone agrees to cook in the sun itself is allowed. Bishol, cooking in the sun itself, bishol b'chama is mutter. So Rashi there explains, why is bishol b'chama mutter? So Rashi comments, there ain't derech bishul b'kach, because that's not the normal way of cooking. No one's going to confuse a sun and a fire. Pots that were heated in the sun and pots that were heated in the fire could be confused. A sun and a regular fire, you know, cooking the sun and regular fire, one would not confuse the two. So therefore, they were never geyser, and it's mutter. Why is it mutter, though? There ain't derech bishul b'kach. So they go tell. In his comments on Malach of Eifah, Simim Emdawad Oiz Gimel, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman also deals with this in the Kovet Shiurim, ask that typically on Shabbos, a Malach that's done Kilachar Yad in an abnormal way, which is, you know, not the derech to do it, person turns on a light with his elbow, so that's Aser, assuming the light would be an incandescent bulb, you have a Malach of Havar, as we discussed yesterday, Midday Raisa. If you turn it on Kedarko, it's Midar Raisa Kalachar Yad. It's only Asa Midar Rabbanan. A person writes with his left hand, then he's a righty. So then it's Malacha of Ksiva Midar Rabbanan. It's done Kalachar Yad in the abnormal way. But it's still Asa Midar Rabbanan. So how can Rashi explain that the reason why Bishul B'Chama is allowed on Shabbos is because Ein Derech Bishul B'Kach, it's not the normal way to cook. So that should lower it to be Kalachar Yad, which is still Asa Midar Rabbanan. Why does how can Rashi justify then why Bishul B'Chama is in fact Mutter? Moreover, the Goytal asks that if Rashi is correct, that it's because Ein Derech Bishul B'Kach, it's not the normal way to cook, it should be limited to Hilchos Shabbos. In Ochel Shabbos, we have an exemption of Kalach HaYad, because the Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel describes the Malacha of the Mishkan, which of course is the basis for the Malachas of Shabbos, as Malachas Machsheves, as a thoughtful Malacha. So if it's done in an abnormal way, or it's Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, or if it's a Masasek, it's not done in a thoughtful way, or perhaps even in the normal way, so then that's excluded from being a violation of Hilchos Shabbos and Malacha Shabbos, right? Because it's not Malachas Machsheves. But that's limited to Shabbos. However, the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim applies this rule of Bishul B'chama is not considered to be Bishul, not only in Hilchos Shabbos, but with regards to cooking the Korban Pesach. Because the Pasuk says in Parashas Bo, in connection with the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat it when it's raw or cooked in water. It has to be roasted. So the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim Daf Mem Aleph from Aleph, if a person cooks in the hot springs of Tveria, which is not heated by, let's assume now it's not heated by a fire, it's heated by geothermic heat, and there's hot lava inside of the earth's core, as we all know now, so then a person is potter. Pesach shebishlu b'chamei Tveria, chayiv. Why is he potter? Because he didn't cook in the fire. He cooked on things that were heated by geothermic heat. Pesach shebishlu b'chamei Tveria, chayiv. If you cook the carbon Pesach, b'chamei Tveria, chayiv. Ma'ishna b'shabes delo. Why on Shabbos you're not chayiv? Delo, they told us, eish b'inan, in order to be chayiv, it has to be a derivative of a fire. This is geothermic heat, v'leka. Pesach nami, lav told us eishu. So over here also, it's not a violation of Bashel Mavusha Bamaim. It's not cooked. There's no Eish. Amarava, my chav de katani de ka'avar mishum tzli Eish. You're right. It's not a violation of kima of al toch mimenu na Bashel Mavusha Bamaim. It's not a violation of eating it cooked. It's a bitul asay of not eating it roasted. There's an asay of kiim tzli Eish. It's supposed to be roasted. So even though it's not cooked, you're right, because there's no fire. But it's still not roasted, so you're in violation of being mavatul yaseh of kiyim sliyesh. However, Rashi there explains why is it not bishul? Hilkach lav bishul hu? Do they have a chai mishum av melacha? It's not bishul. Why not? Because there's no fire. It's like a bishul bechama. Yeah, but bishul bechama, Rashi explained in Masechta Shabbos, is mutter on Shabbos because it ain't derech bishul bechach. What does it have to do with the carbon Pesach? Why does the carbon Pesach have to be done cooked kedarko? Kedarko is generally a rule in Hilchos Shabbos, the Malachas Machsheves, nothing to do with the Karban Pesach. That's the Kash of the Egleitau. So the Egleitau explains, and a similar thing already is found in Rabbi Chanan, over here in Ksubis Oisra Reish Beis. Rabbi Chanan explains, and the Egleitau explains, that there's two types of Kalachar Yad. There's one type of Kalachar Yad, which is limited to Hilchos Shabbos, and that's where I do the same action, or I accomplish the same thing, same product, I just went about in an abnormal way. Let's say I turn on the light. So I turn on the light normally. I could, in theory, if it's an incandescent bulb, be a malacha d'oraisa of havara. But if I turn it on with my elbow, that's kalachar yad. It's only yasa midrabanan. But in the end of the day, it's the same product of the malacha. So why should I not be chayvman from malacha shop? It's the same product was created. Well, because malacha is machshev, so it has to be done in a thoughtful, in the normal way. Okay. Or person writes. So even if he's manages to get out the same product as writing with his right hand, but he wrote it with his left hand, okay, that's still asim in the rabbanon. That's not chayv on Shabbos, but it's asim in the rabbanon. But that's limited to Hilchos Shabbos. But then there's another type of kalachar yad where it's just not the normal way of doing something, and not only is it not the normal way of going about it, the entire product is different. That's just not what the Torah is talking about. So Rabbi Chanan and Egleitau explain that the Torah is only talking about that which is normal. Not only that you did it in the normal way, but the product is the normal product. If it's not normal, not the usual way of creating something, or it's not the product is not the normal product that is created, it's not what people usually mean when they say bishul. So then that's b'chlal not what the Torah is talking about. The Torah only deals with that which is normal. So if you, not that you only went about it in an abnormal way, the product is not the normal product that people mean when they say these things, So then that was never included in the Isser and the Torah in the first place. They have a Rabbi Chanan writes over here on the second line. Now, Kain hu b'chol dinei ha-Torah, not only in Hilchos Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula, shlo namru ela kefi derech harogil. It's only talking about that which is normal. So the normal way of cooking is cooking in a fire. And if you cook in the sun, it's not going to be the same product. Not only is it not the normal way of going about it, most people cook in a fire, it's not even the same product anymore. It's not going to taste the same. It's not going to look the same. The texture won't be the same. So that's not what the Torah is talking about. And that's not limited to Hilchos Shabbos. That would apply to Kol HaTorah Kula. It would apply to cooking the Karban Pesach as well. And when you're dealing with that kind of Kalach Yad, that's not only applies to Kol HaTorah Kula, that's even mutter. It's not usher. Let's say I turn on the light with my elbow, that's still awesome in the Rabbana, and it's limited to Hilchos Shabbos. This type of Kalach Yad applies to Kol HaTorah Kula, and in fact would be Mutter. This is Bechlal, not what the Torah is talking about. And Rabbi Chanan brings other examples of this, not limited to Hilchos Shabbos, where you see this Yesod. For example, the Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim, on Chafdal Mebeis, in the name of Rabbi Yavo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yisurin Shabbat Torah, Ein Loikin Alein El Derech Achilason. Any Iser or Machol Sasuris in the Torah are only Chayiv if you ate it in the normal way. What's considered to be eating something in the abnormal way? The Gemara says, L'ma'ute Shem'ocho Chelev Chai, certain fats of the animal that are prohibited. If you ate it raw, you're Potter. Most people don't eat raw fats. It's the same Machol Sasuris, but you ate it in an abnormal way. It's Potter of Allah. So still awesome, but there are going to be not Chayiv. Why not? So Rabbeinu David there explains, V'taima mishum da'afke rachmana b'loshen achila. The Torah uses a language of achila. Achila implies that it has to be, you shouldn't eat it, you can't eat it. But eating means a normal eating. Not if it's shaloi kederach achila. That has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. This is a rule in Kol HaTorah Kula. When the Torah says eating, it means a normal eating, not an abnormal eating. Or, for example, the Gemara says in Masechtas Chagiga discusses the possibility of a woman being this Abra Bambati, becoming pregnant in the bathhouse. Shalu has ben Zayma, Besua She'ibra, Mal the Kohen Gadol. Is a Bsula who becomes pregnant permitted to marry the Kohen Gadol? Of course, the Kohen Gadol has to marry a Bsula. So, Mi Chayshin Lo Deshmuel, Damar Shmuel, Yachani Livo, Kama Bilos Beloy Dam. Are we afraid, we Chayshish, do we think, it's plausible that we have to be concerned for Shmuel, that perhaps she had relations, but she's still a psula. She still has her psulim, but she would be prohibited from marrying the Kohen Gadol because she had relations. Dilma, the Shmuel, lo shkicha. It's not possible for a woman to have relations and still have her psulim. So Amalahu, the Shmuel, lo shkiach. That's not possible. But Chayshin and Sheva Bambati Ibra. So maybe you could have a psula who is pregnant. How could you have a psula who is pregnant? The only way would be, according to Shmuel, that Yachal Livo Beloy Dam, that you can have relations without removing the psulim. The Gemara says, no, it's possible that she never had relations at all. How then is she pregnant? Because Nisabra Bambati, she became pregnant in the bathhouse. A man was Maitzizera in the bath, and she went into the bath afterwards, subsequently, and she became pregnant. So writes Rabbeinu Chanano in his comments on that Gemara, if a woman becomes pregnant from a bathhouse and then she delivers, so he says the woman is not Tmei Aleda. Why? Zem ma'isenisim hu ve'enet me'oreda she'ena nikare ba'isha kisazria. The pasuk says isha kisazria ve'yolda zachar ve'tama, and then she becomes tame after she gives birth. So the normal way of a woman becoming pregnant and then delivering and becoming tame is when it's isha kisazria. She engaged in a normal act of relation. She became pregnant. If she's bambati ibra, that's not what the Torah is talking about at all, and therefore she's not tame aleda. It's simply not the normal routine way of becoming pregnant, and therefore, since that's not what the Torah is talking about, she's not Tmei Aleda either. Rav Shlomo Zalman Paskins like this comment of Rabbeinu Chanano on the Mincha Shlomo, and therefore he suggests with regards to more advanced reproductive technologies where a woman could become pregnant without having an act of relations, at least the typical act of relations, so then she would not become Tmei Aleda. Which is important because a woman, then, therefore, who, let's say, delivers a boy, even if it's, let's say, a vaginal birth, but she didn't engage in an active relation. She used an advanced reproductive technology, according to Shlomo Zalman, which would not be Tmei Aleda. We don't practice, of course, Tumah V'Tahara. But the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, that only a woman who's Tmei Aleda is the bris of her son Deich HaShabbos. Because the following pasuk says, V'yoyim HaShmini Yimo B'sar HaLosai. After the Tumas Leda on Parashas Tezria, the Torah tells us that the bris has to be on the 8th day. And from that pasuk we derive that the bris is Deich HaShabbos. So the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, only an Isha who's Tmei Aleda is the bris Deich HaShabbos. Sefer of Shlomo Zalman says, according to Rabbeinu Chanano, that a woman who gives birth through a Maisa Nisim is not Tmei Aleda. So if she's not Tmei Aleda, the bris of her son would not be Deich HaShabbos. So if you have a baby boy that's born through advanced reproductive technologies, where there was no active relations that took place, so the bris would not be Deich HaShabbos, which could become, take a very private matter and make it a very public matter. So you have to figure things out. But anyway, but this also reflects this concept, and that is that the Torah is typically discussing that which is normal and routine. If it's not normal, it's simply not what the Torah is talking about. And that applies throughout Kol Torah Kula, not only limited to Chashabbos, and that would make it not only even Asa Midrabbanan, that would make it Heter Gomer. And that's how Rabbi Chanan and the Eglei Tal explain why, according to Rashi, Bishul Bechama is allowed, because it's not the normal way of cooking the product. It's not only the not normal way of going about it, the entire product would be a different item. It's not similar to an item that was cooked on a fire, and therefore it's permitted. Since that's the nature of the heter according to Rashi, because ein derech bishul b'kach, so Rabbi Chanan writes over here on the third line from the bottom of Ois Gimel, aval davar poshet dezet talei hakol lefi hazman ulefi hamakom kigoyim b'malachas Shabbos. Everything depends on, you know, this could change. And if it becomes routine, so then it will be included in the Iser of the Torah. Even Ishtana Midik Ha'ilim B'chayel V'adai Echayiv Gam B'Shabbos. V'go Neymar, Kevin Shinitna Halacha, Eich Nishtana Adina Achshu L'chayiv, V'zeh Eino Shlohaya Shlohaysa Halacha Liftar. The Torah didn't describe what is the normal way. It just presumably refers to that which is normal and routine. So if something which was abnormal, not routine, all of a sudden becomes normal and routine, that will be included in what the Torah is discussing.
Would the same apply the other way around? If something that was normal and routine becomes no longer routine?
In theory, it rarely works that way. We usually expect.
In theory.
But yeah, this can change. It's in flux. It only refers to that which is normal and routine, but the Torah doesn't describe to us what is normal and routine, so that could change in every place and every time, yeah.
Just when we talk about the product of the action being different, I'm going back to, let's say, the Rebbeinu Chanan,
right?
Presumably, a baby born by
that's, I think, in Hilchos Shabbos, it has to be the product is different. Of course, the baby is not in that, right? But I just think that what you see from that, and where Rebbe Chanan is deriving from there, is that the Torah is describing that which is normal. So, in Hilchos Shabbos is describing a normal egg that's cooked, not an egg that's cooked through the sun. And that's not an egg that's cooked through the sun, is a entirely different type of egg. So too, all he sees from the case of the Nesar Brambat is the Torah is discussing that which is normal and routine. What is normal and routine in every situation might be different. See, turning on a light with your elbow is normal and routine, you just went about it in an abnormal way. I get, you're right, but we're somewhat different. But yeah, but all you see from there is the Torah is describing what's normal and routine. How that applies to Chashabbos might be different than the other areas, yeah. Okay, but that could change in time and place. So therefore, Rav Moshe writes, and over here in Ois Vav, and Chela Gimel, Varachayim Simen Nun Beis, with regards to cooking in a microwave, which was an innovation in the times of Rav Moshe, Vim Kein, by a microwave oven, Shetayv Lovasho Boi, Kemoi Be'esh Mamish. So this was Rav Moshe's assumption. And again, this was in the early days of microwave ovens when people were afraid that, you know, machines were taking over the world and replacing everything. That Rav Moshe thought the microwave oven was going to replace the traditional oven. No one would have traditional ovens in their kitchens anymore. All they would have is microwave ovens. That was Rav Moshe's prognostication. Ve'elu she'yesh lem tanur kazeh mishtamshim bo yoysim yibishul de be'esh. Rabbi says, those who have a microwave oven use it more than the traditional oven. The only reason people have traditional ovens, they haven't made them fast enough or cheap enough. Cooking in a microwave oven is better than a traditional oven. Okay, so whether we agree or disagree with Rabbi Moshe's assessment of the you know, the benefits of cooking in a microwave or not, that was Rav Moshe's assumption. Vada yesh lemeiv mi bishul deor dehay b'mishkan b'chashivas tolda shulachol adinim ka'av debishol deor le'isur l'chiyav skil v'chadda. So Rav Moshe assumed, since this was about to become, on the precipice of becoming, the normal way of cooking, so this should be included in the isur midoraisa, perhaps a tolda of bishul on Shabbos. This is no longer bishul b'chama, even though there's no fire here. This is bishul, the equivalent of bishul be'esh. Because the only reason bishul b'cham is allowed is because it's not derech bishul b'kach. But if it will become derech bishul b'kach, it will be yasim midoraisa. Or Moshe assumed microwave ovens will become, or already had become, derech bishul b'kach, and therefore should be included in the yasim midoraisa of cooking in of cooking on Shabbos. Many people reheat things in ovens. I don't know how often people cook things for the first time in ovens, but that's in our times. This was already where Moshe was in the early days of microwave ovens, yeah.
Maybe a misremembering, but isn't there a thesis of the Chazon Ish that standards get ossified in the biblical era, but its use was then?
That's with regards to some halachas like treifas and other like the Gemara says a certain thing is a treifa and now things might have changed. How should we deal with those kinds of things? Or the Gemara says a child that's born in the eighth month doesn't live. How should we deal with that in our time where we see children that are born in the eighth month do live? Here the Torah or even Chazal, you know, Chazal describing what the reality was at the time. That's where Rabbi Yochanan is arguing. That's where Moshe would argue too. It depends on what is the normal way. So that could change in time and place. That's a different, discussion than if Chazal prescribed a certain thing or the Torah prescribes a certain thing for a certain reason, and then the situation on the ground changes. How should we deal with that in halacha? Here, the Torah never describes what is normal bishul. The Torah says bishul means normal. Could that change? Yeah, it all means whatever is normal. That itself is open to interpretation every time and place, whatever is normal. I don't think it's included in that larger, very sensitive discussion. Or, for example, because a similar line of argument is Rav Moshe, Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Masorah Journal, in volume 20, which is the Masorah Journal is put out by the OU. This is quoted there as being of the opinion that cooking in a Dud Shemesh, in Eretz Yisrael, every house is outfitted with everyone knows what this is, I assume, with a water heater that's on the roof, so that it could, when it's very sunny, it could be heated by the sun. Saves money. So that's become normal at this point. That's not abnormal. Every house in Eretz Yisrael is outfitted with one of these. Dud Shemesh, you know, these Dudei Shemesh, that's a plural problem, right? So then that's normal. So Rav Soloveitchik argued, therefore cooking in a Dud Shemesh could perhaps be a Malacha de Raisa nowadays of Bishul, even though it's literally Bishul Bechama, because that's become so commonplace. Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Mincha Shlomo, though, disagrees, and he's a different pshat in Rashi. Rav Shlomo Zalman argues that this can't be the pshat in Rashi, based on a Gemara Masechet Shabbos. The Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, Daf Amechet, a basic continuation of that first part of the Mishnah that we read before about the hot towels. So the Mishnah describes an incident. Ma'aseh sha'asu anshei Tveria ve'viu silon shotzinor l'soich amesh ochamen. In Tveria, presumably discussing the hot springs of Tveria, they took a pot of cold water and they put it in the hot springs. Amalohem chachamim. If you did this on Shabbos, as the status of water which was heated on Shabbos, which the Mishnah says is prohibited, you're not allowed to drink it or wash in it because it was heated on Shabbos. Maisa Tveria Aresha Kai. This discussion of the Anshei Tveria is going on the Resha, which discusses the hot towels that were heated in the sun. According to the Chacham, it's prohibited. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's allowed. The Rabbanan are really arguing back to Rabbi Yossi. Hamaisa da Anshei Tveria, the Tolda Chamahu Vasi lehu Rabbanan. Don't you see from the Maisa of Anshei Tveria that something which is heated in the sun, which we described as Tolda Chachama, derivative of the sun, or something heated in the sun, is prohibited to cook it mid Rabbanan. That's where they said if you put the cold pot of water in the Chamei Tveria, which was heated by the geothermic heat, the equivalent of being heated by the sun. So then that's prohibited. Don't you see that they prohibited? Told us Hacham, Altu told us Ha'ur, which was the Machleg, seen Rabbi Yaisin, the Chachamim. So Amalahu, Rabbi Yaisin will respond to them, Ha'hu told us Urhu. No, geothermic heat is not told us Chama. They prohibited them for the cold water that was heated in the Chamei Tveri because that's considered to be told us Ha'ur. Why is it told us Ha'ur? The Chalfi, Apiskel, the Gehenim. Because inside the ground is fires. Called and described as the fires of Gehenna, but it means the fires of geothermic heat, the lava rock. That's what's causing the Chamei Tveria. So there is literally a fire there that's not the same as being heated in the sun. That's why they prohibited it. It's told us Ha'ur, not told us Ha'chama. Okay. That's the Machleit in Rabbi Yaisin the Chachama. So Shlomo Zalman, Mincha Shlomo asks, I don't understand. What difference does it make? What's underneath the water? If it's normal to cook in Chamei Tveria, then it should be Bishul Dairaisa. If it's not normal to cook in Chamei Tveria, then it's not Bishul Dairaisa. What difference does it make if there's a fire underneath the water, if there's no fire underneath the water? According to the way Ramesh understood Rashi, or perhaps even according to the, you know, simple interpretation of Rashi, what does it do with Derech Bishul Bekach is what... determines whether or not we're dealing with Bishul Dairaisa or not. What difference does it make? What's at the bottom of the waters? So therefore, Rashi from Zalman, Da'av shekasav Rashi b'Shabbos, Ahad b'mvashu b'cham l'kuliyam b'sharidum imnei de'ein derech Bishul l'b'kach, mikol mokum nireh, shegam ba'oifin shechein regilum l'vashu b'cham, k'moy dud shemesh v'chadoyme, even if he's become regular, gam kein potter. U'dikach hazina mekhamei tveria, di'amrina d'chafi apiska d'gehenim, havei told us ur. It all hinges upon whether or not there's a fire here. If there's a fire here, that's Bishul Dairaisa. If there's no fire here, that's not Bishul Dairaisa. And we should not understand Rashi is describing something which is normal or abnormal. It has nothing to do with that. All Rashi meant to say is not that ain't derech bishul bekach. That's nothing to do with what's normal or abnormal. It has to do with the fact that this is just not called bishul because there's no fire there. Even though perhaps the literal, you know, language of Rashi didn't give us that impression. Shlomo Zalman argues based on the Mishnah of Shabbos and the Gemara of Shabbos and the Testament Aleph, that's what we have to assume within Rashi. Everything depends on whether or not there's a fire here or not. And Shlomo Zalman brings a second source for his position from the Talmud Yerushalmi Masechta Shabbos, which discusses a carbon Pesach that's cooked b'chamei Tveria. Pesach she is vasha b'chamei Tveria mahu. One opinion is man train amoyran. It's a machlekes to amoyran. Chadam aaser v'charan amar mutter. One says it's aaser, one says it's mutter. Man da amar aaser al toyekum imenu no bashi al mevusho b'mayim. The one that says that it's aaser holds that this is also not a good carbon Pesach. It's aaser because it was cooked in hot water. That's a violation of ubashi al mevusho b'mayim. But the other opinion, man da amar mutter, disagrees ki imtzli eish roisha al krov ve'al kirboy. The pasuk says it should be eaten, roasted. So the carbon ha'eda explains that opinion is that opinion holds that from the second half of the pasuk we see that it's only considered to be bishul if it's on a fire, and the pasuk is telling us you should eat it roasted on the fire without a liquid medium, not cooked in liquid from a fire. But either way, the only time it's considered cooked is when it's done in connection with a fire. If there's no fire, it's not called cooked. Mashman de bishul nami davka haba me'esh aser. That's how the carbon Aida explains. So according to that opinion, the Talmud Yerushalmi, it sounds like that the pasuk is teaching us by the carbon Pesach, perhaps this is the source for Shlomo Zalman's opinion, that bishul is only considered to be bishul when it comes in connection, when it's done in connection with a fire. As the pasuk says by the carbon Pesach, Bashel mavusha b'mayim kim tzliyesh. You should eat the carbon Pesach roasted on a fire, not cooked in water on a fire. But if it's not cooked in water on a fire, it's bechlal not even called cooked. That's the opinion of Shlomo Zalman. And therefore, yeah?
Just out of curiosity, if there's an oven that's heated with solar panels, would that be not fire, therefore it's okay, according to Shlomo Zalman, midder Rabbanan, midder Aisa, and also not common, therefore it's okay, according to Moshe, midder Rabbanan, midder Aisa, sorry?
I think you're not describing. If there would be such an oven, you're not describing it accurately. What you'd be saying is there's an oven that's powered by solar panels.
Yeah.
But in the end, there's a fire in the oven. It doesn't matter where the fire came from. I don't care what powers the power plant. If I have a fire here, that's kuli amu opligi, that's bishul. Right. Machlekes is if there's no fire here, like a dut shemesh or a microwave, so what would be the status of that? So therefore, Rosh Hashanah Zalman argues, and that's the opinion of many other Paiskim as well, Rabbi Avadya and the Yabiyah Oimer, Chelik Dalet, Simon Lama Dalet, Minchas Yitzchak, Chelik Dalet, Simon Mem Dalet, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Simon Kuf Peches, all are of the opinion that it's only considered to be fire, bishul, if there's fire here. If there's no fire, even if it's a microwave, and we would accept Rav Moshe's assessment of reality, the microwaves have, look, every kitchen now has a microwave, whether people cook in it or not, or they only heat food up. I don't know if we're... we definitely use it quite often. It's definitely become normal and commonplace. So according to Rav Moshe, and Rav Salvation could be a violation of Bishul Deiris on Shabbos, was according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, a microwave or a Dud Shemesh, we would only be dealing with an Iser Midrabanan because there's no fire. Rav Shlomo Zalman continues, yeah?
When we say something is Derech Bishul, do we just, like in Eretz Yisrael, it's more common, but someone were to construct that in America.
Oh, good question. I don't know. Do they exist like in Arizona and California? Do they shemesh?
Not sure. It's definitely like, you know, not as widespread
right
throughout America as it would be in Eretz Yisrael.
Good question. I don't know. Excellent. Cool. Good point. Rav Shlomo Zalman continues. And he discusses what he's really discussing, an immersion heater, which if you know what that is, great. But it's these two tongs, which they used to put in water, and there were it was like they would conduct, water conducts electricity. So one would be a positive charge, one a negative charge, and the electricity would run through the water from one node to the other node, and that would heat up the water. In our times, this has become much more popular with what's known as a sous vide, which operates in a similar way, where you, everyone knows what a sous vide is? Yeah. It's the modern equivalent of an immersion heater, but you stick something on the side of a pot of water, attaches to the side of the pot, or it's its own pot, has a thermometer attached to it, and it has these, part of the item sticks into the water and heats the water in a similar way to an immersion heater. The advantage of, see, immersion heaters used to be for people who are camping. This is an ideal way of cooking because it maintains the same temperature throughout. Ovens get cold, heat up with a thermostat. This keeps it exactly the same temperature the entire time. And people put their food inside of the pot, usually in a sealed bag, and you have this, you should know what it is because it's people are asking constantly about it. And this attaches to the side of the pot. Okay, so it immerses into the water. So Shlomo Zalman argues there's no fire there. How can that be? Bishul Deiris on Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman claims this is a great idea for people who have to cook for Chaylim on Shabbos. So in order to minimize the number of Isurim that are involved, let's recommend to them to cook with immersion heaters. Let's say you have to cook for a Chayla in a hospital. All hospitals in Eretz Yisrael, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, should use immersion heaters. That's not Bish, that's Bishul B'chama. So probably Yasim Midrabanan, it's Toldos HaChama, but at least it's better than cooking in the sun on Toldos HaOr. So Rav Shlomo Zalman over here, Moitz Ani L'Nochon L'Adiyah Shabi Yosi Pam Eitz Maron Baal Chazan Ish. He was once visiting the Chazan Ish. Amarti Lo Shamartiach Mayim B'Shabbos Adei Mazlik Chashmali. That's this immersion heater, the hot fork, or the electric fork. The electricity travels through the water. That heats up the water. Shuladati Isura Rakmid Rabbanan told us Hachama. The Kevin Shazerim Einenu Eish Memeila Havelik Mavachim told us Hachama the Porta Mechatos. There's no Isim Midaraisa. Vamarti Shuladati Rotzi Lefarsim Dovrzele Botecholim Vachadoima. We should publicize this to the hospitals. The Chazanish responded Vaheshu Libib Shitos. The kamoish hamavashu b'mayim chamim shem tolda me'esh chayv chatos kach gam hamavashu b'zerem shal chashmal. Just like a person who heats up food that was heated in water that was heated by a fire is chayv chatos, told us ha'ur is chayv chatos, kach gam hamavashu b'zerem shal chashmal, so too, if you heated up something that was heated by electricity, is also chayav chatas. Ho, but there are klal who talik hayotzer esh havle ke'ein ibur shel esh. Since electricity is usually used for fire, so everything that has the derivative of electricity is as if it was heated by the fire. Since electricity usually is translated into esh, anything that's heated by electricity is also esh. Even though there's no fire here, electricity is usually used for fire, so this is the equivalent of fire. So the Rav Shlomo Zalman can't entertain this. He says, "Ma'od his palati l'shmei davar zeh." This is just fascinating. V'yaldos ha'yisi b'loimar sh'rak ha'rishonim ha'yuchalim loimar kiddush gadol kazeh. He said back to the Chazon Ish, only a Rishon can say such a thing. That since electricity is always used for fire, so therefore electricity is the equivalent of fire, even though there's no fire here. He said you have to be a Rishon to say such a thing. You don't have to be the Rashba to say such a thing. Rav Shlomo Zalman still can't accept it. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, of course, was the one who really spent a lot of time investigating electricity, understood it better than most. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, an immersion heater would be the same thing, be like the equivalent of Toldos Hachama, and would only be us and the Rabbanan on Shabbos because there's no fire involved. According to Rav Moshe, if sous vide become the norm, maybe they already have, so then we could be discussing Malacha Bishul Deiraisa on Shabbos, even though, of course, there's no fire here. This is not only relevant to Hilchos Shabbos, this is a machlekes in Kol HaTorah Kula. Can you have Bishul without fire? According to Rav Moshe, it's possible. According to Shlomo Zalman, Bishul is defined by fire, as we learned out, derived from the Pasuk by Karban Pesach. This is relevant to also Bishul Akum. The Ramah writes in Hilchos Bishul Akum in Yeridea, Simikuf Yud Gimel, that the only time it's considered to be Bishul Akum, which Chazal prohibited us from eating, lest we come to intermarry, the only thing that was included is if a person cooks with fire. So let's say a person wants to eat something that was cooked in a microwave by a non-Jew, according to Shlomo Zalman, we would not be dealing with a problem of bishul akum. It's not cooked. However, Rav Moshe Salvechik might argue that the Ramah is not to be taken literally, the lo'asar or bishul shel esh, but it means the equivalent of cooking on a fire, meaning normal cooking. And therefore, perhaps bishul akum could be a concern with microwaves. If microwaves have become so commonplace, we could be dealing with the problem of bishul akum by microwaves, because one can have cooking even without fire. There used to be some Dunkin' Donuts that when you ordered a egg and cheese, I remember seeing this on the Dunkin' Donuts on Rockaway Turnpike going down into Five Towns. So they used to ask you if you want to, you ordered an egg or something on a croissant, they used to ask you if you want to come around the counter and push the microwave yourself. I think they still make eggs in the microwave over here. I don't know how they make eggs in the Dunkin' Donuts. Here, our kitchen is behind the scenes. But in the one in Aqua, you could see it. Anyway, so they used to do that to be chayshish for both opinions. Some hold there is bishul akum in a microwave. Most hold there's no bishul akum in a microwave. Like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that you can't have bishul without fire. One final issue that might hinge upon this is the suffix of the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch of Mitzvah Zayin Oisei has a suffix which was already found in the Prima Gadim, which he mentions, about whether or not, what we're going to discuss next time, that there's a concept called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Once something has been cooked, you can't violate cooking again on Shabbos. Cooked is cooked. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Let's say the first time, though, something was cooked in the sun. You cooked it in a microwave. You could conceivably have this on Shabbos. Cook rice in a microwave. Now you want to put it back on top of the non-adjustable hot plate or whatever contraption you use to heat up food Shabbos morning. I'm not endorsing one or the other, giving away anything yet, but some way that you negotiated heating up food Shabbos morning. So it's going to get hot again. The first time it was heated in a microwave. Second time it's heated on the fire. So if it would be heated on the fire once and then you heat it on the fire again in Bishul Achar Bishul, potato kugel, once it's cooked, you can't violate bishul again. What if the first time the potato kugel was cooked, it was cooked in a microwave? Should we say, ain't bishul achar bishul, and you could heat it up now on a heating element that has a fire? Or should the rule of ain't bishul achar bishul not apply? Because the first time it wasn't heated up on the fire, it was heated up in bishul b'chama. So Minchaschinach, the Prima Galim go back and forth about this issue. However, perhaps it hinges upon this machlekes between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. According to Rav Moshe, who understood Rashi literally, that the reason why Bishul B'Kach is mutter on Shabbos is because ain derech Bishul B'Kach. That's not to say that it's not cooking. It's just not the normal way of going about cooking. The product is not the normal cooked product that we're used to seeing. But that doesn't mean that it's not cooked. So it is cooked. Just you're not chayv on Shabbos because you didn't do it in the normal way. It's mutter. But it might be cooked. And if it is cooked, therefore, we could say ain Bishul, acha Bishul. L'mayis, it's cooked. Can't be chayv for cooking again. However, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the definition of bishul, we derive from Karban Pesach, the definition of bishul is kiyum tliyesh. It's only something that's cooked in the fire. If it's not cooked in the fire, it's just not called cooking. So in which case, one could argue that if something is cooked in a microwave or cooked in any other form of bishul b'chama without a fire, then that's not called cooked, and therefore you cannot later heat it on a heating element that does have a fire. You could, in theory, violate bishul the second time. So bishul in a dud shemesh, according to Rav Moshe, according to Salvechik, could be a violation of bishul deiris on Shabbos if it's become commonplace and normal. However, even according to Shlomo Zalman, that when there's no fire, there's no bishul deiris, that doesn't mean that a dud shemesh or even a microwave will be mutter on Shabbos. A microwave, obviously, there's a concern with the electricity. Which is its own problem. But even cooking on a dud shemesh is still asur midrabbanan. It's told us hachama. It's not cooking in the sun itself. It's something that was heated in the sun. The dud shemesh gets heated by the sun. Then the dud shemesh, the metal outside of the dud shemesh gets heated by the sun. And then that heats the water inside. So it's heated by metal that was heated in the sun. That's told us hachama and still asur midrabbanan. It's not cooking in the sun itself. It's cooking in something that was heated by the sun. But since it's only cooked in something that was heated by the sun, we're only dealing with an Isser Midrabbanan. According to Rav Moshe, we'll be dealing with an Isser Midrashim. Since according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and that's the way many poskim in Eretz Yisrael hold, that's the opinion of Rav Avadia, as we mentioned, the Menchas Yitzchak, or Tzvi Pesach Frank. So because according to their opinion, cooking in a dud shemesh is only Isser Midrabbanan, so they suggest some avenues to be mako on Shabbos to use the hot water. For example, writes Ratzi Pesach Frank in the Tshuvas Har Tzvi, Simen Kuf Peches, Ha'olam Mikol Anal, Shebenidon Didal Nohavi Ala Grama. Let's say a person opens the hot water faucet on Shabbos, so what happens? That water that comes out was already hot. He's not heating that water as it comes out unless he has an instant hot, you know, where it goes through hot coil. That water is heated already. Problem is, with turning on the hot water on Shabbos, is that new cold water is going to go into the place in the hot water heater. So, even though it's not your intention, it's a psik reshe, it inevitably happens. And psik reshe, even though it's an unintended result, but an inevitable unintended result is also on Shabbos. Psik reshe. But if it's a psik reshe through grama, and we're only dealing with an isa midrabbanan, so some are mekel, that's the basis for Shlomo Zalman's kula in the Mincha Shlomo with regards to opening a refrigerator door on Shabbos. The place can discuss, how am I allowed to open the refrigerator door on Shabbos when the motor, the compressor, is not running? Inevitably, when I open the door, hot air is going to enter into the refrigerator and trigger the motor sooner than it would have turned on before. Yes, it's an unintended result of my action. I just want, you know, to take food out of the refrigerator. I'm not interested in the compressor turning on. But it's an inevitable, unintended result. It's a psik reshe. So Shlomo Zalman argues, whenever it doesn't happen right away, it's a grumma, it's indirect. We're only dealing with an isa midrabbanan of electricity of the motor turning on. There's no fires going on over here. So if it's a psik reshe with graman, we're only dealing with an isa midrabbanan. Shlomo Zalman allows it. That's the heter to open the refrigerator door on Shabbos.
Is this where you're combining multiple shvasim with tzorech?
No. What is the lumdus of it? It could be because psik reshe, an unintended result, relates to you if it's direct. If it doesn't relate, if it's indirect, it's through grama, so then the psik reshe, the fact that it's inevitable, might not necessarily make it. If I do something on Shabbos intentionally in an indirect fashion, we understand that that could be a problem on Shabbos. But if it's unintentional and it's indirect, that might be too far removed from you to be a problem.
Meaning it's unintentional. You don't want it to cool up again.
That's not what your intention is when you open the refrigerator door. You might be happy about it. I don't think it's lo nichole. You're happy about it, but it's certainly not your intention when you open the door, it's to turn on the compressor. be unusual for that to be your intention. So you open it up. It's unintended, yeah, but it's inevitable. Now you have to have it. Now, of course, you have that in mind. Come on, it's inevitable. It's going to happen every time. You know this is going to happen. Of course, that's what you have in mind. Even though you say that's not what you have in mind, you know it's going to happen. Yeah, but if it's indirect, now already maybe you don't. It returns to be a Dove Shein Miskaven. It's unintended, and unintended results are permitted. Dove Shein Miskaven is allowed. Even though an exception to that rule is if it's inevitable, Psikreshe, if it's indirect, that might subvert the, you know, or undo the problem of Psikreshe. You follow what I'm saying? It's too far removed from you. And we're only dealing with an Issim Midrabanan. Okay. Two snit from the Hakel, the Paiskim are willing to be bankrupt. Yeah.
What about when you have a water fountain and then after you drink a little bit, it might...
It's the same as the refrigerator. But many suggest you shouldn't use water fountains because if it happens every time, if it happens right away, so see, the refrigerator doesn't happen right away. If it would happen right away, then you wouldn't have this this heter. But if it... it might happen right away. It might not happen right away, but oftentimes it doesn't happen right away. The water fountains oftentimes... If it, you have to know. If it happens right away, every time, so then you have a problem. If it works like a refrigerator, it doesn't happen every time, then it's no different. But also, sometimes water fountains, when you press the button, you trigger an electric... it's not water pressure. Sometimes it shoots out with a motor. So water fountains are complicated. But in theory, yeah.
You can save cooler for air conditioner as you do for a refrigerator?
Of course. Otherwise, how else do you open your front door in the summertime? Yeah. Well, you have to say this. If you're going to say you can't do this, you can't. Not only can you not open your refrigerator, you can't open your front door in the summertime. You're causing the air conditioning to go on sooner. Same cooler. So to over here, let's say I take water out of the Dud Shemesh. So it's an unintended result. That it's inevitable, unintended result, that more cold water is going to come in its place. But it's through a grama, and we're only dealing with Nisim Midrabanan. So that was when many Paiskim were Mako. That a Psikresha, the grama, we're only dealing with Nisim Midrabanan. Perhaps there's room to be makos. So to over here, that's where Tzvi Pesach Frank argues. Even he should grama asura al kapanim midrabanan mikol makom. You can't do something even indirectly on Shabbos. Mikol makom mitzayif hadavar shenida nidan havibishu betoldas chama sheinisa midrabanan. We're only dealing with isu midrabanan in the first place of toldas chama. Imken have a trade rabbanan betrayed rabbanan bavada yeshuhat the benu miskavim psik reshe. When you're dealing with the psik reshe, even if it wouldn't be grama. But you're dealing with when you deal with the psikreshin, it's the two derabbanans. We could be meikol. That's the rule of the prima garden that he quotes from the Shaar HaTzion. It's grama. It's one derabbanan. Told us hachama. Second derabbanan psikreshin. We can allow it. However, according to those who hold that we're dealing with an iser midoraisa on Shabbos and cooking in a dud shemesh, our avenues to be lenient are much more confined. This heter wouldn't necessarily apply because we're dealing with an iser midoraisa. Of cooking in Dud Shemesh. And just like we don't use the hot water in our homes on Shabbos, which are heated by the fire, we shouldn't use hot water in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's heated by Dud Shemesh, because Dud Shemesh are commonplace, and therefore it should be a violation of Bishul Deiraisa, according to Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik. According, but if you assume, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Bishul without fire is never Bishul Deiraisa, then we can perhaps discuss this avenue Lukula. Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa says that perhaps in the modern Dudei Shemesh it should be a little bit different. The first editions of the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, the real first editions of Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, he discusses this issue of using the Dudei Shemesh on Shabbos, and he was says if it's only heated by the sun, then perhaps there's room to be makol. But then he writes, "Tov lehimana milahoytzi b'Shabbos mayim chamim midud." There was a pushback. So therefore, he writes in the language of the newer Shmir Shabbos Kochasa. I don't mean the new one that was published 5 years ago. I mean the new one that was published 30 years ago. He writes, "Tov lehimana milahoytzi b'Shabbos mayim chamim midud shemesh." Tov lehimana. It's good to not do this. Im nechnasim b'mkayimam ledud mayim karim v'mischamim edei achamim. You should refrain from doing this on Shabbos. Why? We just mentioned this. Avenues of Kula, according to Shlomo Zalman. So he says, because Shamat Megrashaz Arbach, the Mikavit Sheyesh Mekaymesha Mesikan Mufo Bekayach Hashmal Biyamimu Ananim. On cloudy days, people also want hot water. So what do you do in Eretz Yisrael? Well, every Dud Shemesh is equipped with electric coils too to heat the water. So if people are going to use the Dud Shemesh on sunny days, they might come to you, where it's heated by the sun, they might come to use it on cloudy days when it's heated by the electric coil. And that will be a problem. Now we're dealing with Bishul Deraisa according to everyone. The electric coil, certainly Bishul Deraisa. So in the Mikavin Shiesh Mekam Shemiska Mufa Bekoch HaChashmal B'yamu Aninim, I would tend to believe there's probably every Dud Shemesh, because no one doesn't want hot water on a cloudy day. So Chayshin and Shemi Yavala Hoitzi Maim Dud Shemesh Gam Bizman Shu Mufa BeChashmal, even when it's triggered by hot coils, which certainly would have the status of a fire. But after the Gam Zeh, Havi Bechal Zera, the Asi Lechlufi told us HaShemesh, but told us HaEsh. So that even though this is told us, and then it will be a told us HaEsh, which would be Bishul Deraisa. So he's kind of making his own Zera. That since the Dud Shemesh is sometimes told us Ha'esh, sometimes told us Hachama, this should be this would be included in told us Hachama to told us Ha'esh would be a problem. So he says you should treat it like an Issa Deraisa, because otherwise sometimes it might be a violation of an Issa Deraisa. So he recommends not to use the Dud Shemesh on Shabbos, but according to Shlomo Zalman, if you know it was heated by the sun, perhaps there is room to be lenient. But he recommends not to do it because you never know. One final issue that's brought up by the Magen Avraham, quotes in the name of the Marshal, is that what is the reason we said, again, let's just review the basic rules. If something is heated in the fire, a derivative of the fire, it's Bishul Deraisa. If it's heated in the sun, it's Mutter. If it's heated in a derivative of the sun, something was heated in the sun, it's Asmi Derabanan. That's how we paskin, like the Chachamim. Because we're guys there, told us Hachama to told us Ha'ura. I don't know, you can always confuse a pan that was heated by the fire by a pan that was heated in the sun. So you can't cook in a pan that was heated by the sun unless you come to cook in a pan that was heated by the fire. So Magen Avraham quotes from the Marshal that one is allowed to roast an egg on a rooftop. Because that's still sitting in the sun. Meaning, perhaps the only time we're guys there, told us Hachama, Otu told us Ha'ur, is if it's been removed from the sun. I have a pan that was heated by the sun, a pan that was heated by the fire, I put them behind my back, you can't tell the difference. But if the hot roof is sitting in the sun, there are no roofs that are heated by a fire, at least to the best of my knowledge. So what are you going to confuse it with? Nothing. So even though it's a derivative of the sun, perhaps it should have the status of Bishul B'chama that it's Heter Gomer. Kazem Marshal B'tshuva, the Mutter Litzlois, Al Gag Reiseach, what are you going to confuse it with? And the Magen Avraham, though, writes V'dvarim Eilu in Mukhrachim, and he quotes Achorim who disagree, but that's the opinion of the Marshal. A similar suggestion is made by the Shmir by the Shvishas HaShabbos. I'm going to tell me the Mervitzi Pesach, Frank, a classical sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, where he discusses a person who heats something with a magnifying glass. We're not, again, discussing a person who takes a magnifying glass and makes a fire. If you make a fire with a magnifying glass, you know, heat leaves or something, that's a fire. That's, of course, Bishul. That's what he writes. But if you take a magnifying glass and I focus the heat on a piece of meat, and I cook the meat, I guess it takes a long time, but, and I cook the meat with the magnifying glass, there's never a fire here. That's literally Bishul B'chama. Yeah, but I used a utensil to harness the power of the sun. That's like told us Achama. But there is no magnifying glass that could be used with fire. Magnifying glass can only be used with the sun. Same argument as the Marshal. What are you going to confuse it with? So he suggests maybe such a thing would be allowed. Achim eino nidlok, and not only not all smidaraisa, perhaps heter gomer. Achim eino nidlok eish rakai demasha mitz tam tzeim nitzot hashemesh. I condense, you know, focus the heat of the sun. Nirtach vaydeza misbasha alkosh b'seich hazavade eino. Told us Ha'ur, but Gam Shia told us Chama, lo briri, rakulai kechama atzma. Maybe that's like the sun itself. Similar to the argument of the Marshal that I can't confuse it with a magnifying glass that was heated by the sun. This is also, this argument of the Marshal, again, is controversial. The Magen Avraham already mentioned it's controversial. This comes up with regards to what's known as MREs, which are meals that are ready to eat, which they give to soldiers. So if you're able to eat in the field, hot meals, so they use I think magnesium and iron and salt, which is a chemical pack that you mix with water, and a chemical reaction occurs that causes the water to steam, and you can heat food that way. So can you heat food that way on Shabbos? You're causing the water to steam, to get obviously to become Yad Soledes Bo, but you're using a chemical reaction. There's no fire here. I don't think this is normal according to anybody. So certainly not according to, you know, Bishul Deraisa. It's probably told us Hachama. It's also midrabanan. It's water, hot water that was heated through a chemical reaction, no fire, that's heating the food. Yeah, but is it even told as hachama? Maybe it's chama atma, because is there such a chemical reaction, you know, can this be confused with something that was heated in by a fire? Where else do you find a styrofoam container with hot water? I mean, it can only happen through a chemical reaction. It can't happen on a fire. So can would that even be told as hachama? So Shafter discusses this in that volume of Masora Journal that's put out by the OU, is the MREs even told as hachama? Maybe it's considered to be chama itself. But then he backs away. He says, look, the Marshal is only a das yachid. Maybe the water should be called Toldas HaChama, according to everyone, because there is water that's heated by a fire that could be confused with water that was heated through a chemical reaction. So the MRE is best to refrain from using it on Shabbos. Even the Marshal is only a Das Yochid. The Magen Avraham already disagrees.